Doug Christie. He's Jason Ross.
Get off my lawn.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Still working on that whistle, Doug.
I don't have to work on anything, man. Solid.
Well, here we are. A brief show for us today because there is Kings basketball today. Yes, they are officially eliminated from postseason contention.
Let's not say that. Well, we got Kings basketball. Let's just stay with that.
Okay. Can two games to go.
There you go.
An opportunity to win today.
Lord, please.
With game 7 of the 8-seeded games that they have. So they have that one coming up against New Orleans. We'll have game night coming your way at 4. Pre-game will begin at 5:30 and then Kings basketball at 6. It will look a little bit different, certainly, for both teams. We'll tell you about some of those lineups that are coming up for each team. Doug, you might be playing today.
Hey, if the money right, your boy going to get it on, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll go soft tissue injury for
it's worth it
for the right
for a
price.
One-day paycheck.
I mean, come on, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, let's see. I get a veteran's minimum. Divided through the math. Oh, yeah. I'll be good.
I'm into.
You're in?
Yeah, I won't provide anything, but I'll be there.
Hey, I got 6 fouls.
Yes.
Okay? I'm catching the first move.
Yeah.
Okay? Maybe I catch the first.
Yeah.
The move gets me.
Yeah.
And I can spot up and knock down a shot.
Yeah.
There you go.
I might kick one in.
Hail to the nah. We going to stay right and do what we doing.
Yes, we are.
Talking to the people.
Yes, we will. We got that coming your way today. We'll talk about what to expect from today's Kings and Pelicans game. We got the crossover here in the first hour. We got some NBA news and notes from the bubble, but let's start you out right away.
First things first.
First things first.
Right off the top, Doug, Big Ten and Pac-12 announced today no fall football. Pac-12 extends that to say no to all fall sports. They both hope to eye the spring. But for the Pac-12, that means nothing through 2020. Not all conferences have said so, but two major players have.
Well,
are they, though?
Well, I think the reason I think so is because we're talking about conferences with big dough. Big dough, okay? Like some of the biggest dough out there. And if they are saying no to it, I have to think that they're taking in consideration testing, all the things that go with that, not to mention, you know, we could talk about going back to school and all the different things that come with that. We saw the picture over the weekend, and the girl got suspended for putting it like, oh, you're mad at me because I told that something that's going to help everybody, but that's a whole different deal. When you look at this, is it wiser to start school and figure out a way to get them in safe? And then go sports? Because if you go sports, for instance, and you start playing and you bring the students back, I think you run more risk of the sport falling apart. But I think we're way, way far away from that happening.
Yeah, I agree. And so here's where there's so many different questions about this. About the other part where you said, no, we're just a matter of time for the other conferences. I don't know that we are, because we are a nation divided. We have states that are doing things differently. And you know this very well, Doug, that I am a huge college football fan. I've always grown up loving UCLA football. UCLA, USC seems like such a great rivalry. It's really nothing in comparison to SEC football.
No.
Into that rivalry. That's
nothing.
Life.
Right.
That's not like, okay, let's picture Los Angeles this fall. No,
okay.
UCLA football, no USC football.
Oh, no biggie.
Honestly, not at all. Like, there's people like me that care about it.
But it's rolling on,
yeah,
baby.
Move on. Another day. Another
going
thing.
To the beach.
Whatever.
Malibu, we're going to get it in.
Alabama, Auburn, Georgia.
Say it.
Tennessee.
LSU. Keep it coming.
Ole Miss. Like, it is life. Nebraska, Oklahoma. And I understand why they don't want to pause yet. They may be forced to. They'll wait as long as they can. But they may try to play.
Yeah. Well,
and how can those are about as opposite as you can get.
Well, I think we're seeing the same thing in high school sports in Texas and Oklahoma, and people moving across borders and different stuff to put their kids in school so that they can play. When you think of like Pullman, Washington, okay, that Wazoo, that's
closer to that.
That is okay,
life.
Corvallis. Mm-hmm. You know, where there's the school is the town, and that is more SEC than it is Pac-12. I mean, Cal shuts down.
They're fine. They move on.
They keep it moving.
Stanford keeps it moving.
Okay, but in that area, and it's specifically football, it's religion. It's everything.
Yeah.
So I don't – I could see them trying something, but we hear that's where the NCAA is going to have to step up. Like, somebody grabbed the reins here.
Right, because what are the natural protocol – I'm a student now at – or you were thought about Washington State.
Yes.
Okay, so you're there, and they say, yeah, no basketball, at least through 2020, but likely, I don't know if it's happening in January all of a sudden of 2021, and you think you might be an NBA player, but you're not quite, like, your freshman year.
Okay.
So you're developing, you're pretty good, but
right.
Hey, I'm out of here. Alabama's playing. I'm leaving. Now, there was restrictions where you'd have to wait a year, but would that be different? And are they going to? Are all these other conferences going to poach players from all these schools because
yes.
they want to play?
Yes, they are. I think if we did see college sports, you're not going to see the high level, the super athletes, the ones that have an idea that they're going to the NFL, they're going to the NBA, they're going to Major League Baseball, those type of things. I don't think that we see why risk it in a situation where if I was going to risk it, at least I'm making money. This is what I'm doing. And I don't mean to just put it on money, but in a lot of ways, a lot of these kids, boys and girls, they have dreams of making it professional and all the things that come along with those professional sports. So I would say I could see the SEC trying something. Everyone else already, Big Ten said no, Pac-12, they're saying no. Somebody's going to give it a shot if the NCAA allows it.
The other part of that, I think about last year, you're talking about people that know they're going to be good or know they're getting drafted. We've mentioned Trevor Lawrence. If they push this to the fall in their conference, which they haven't yet, or to the spring, why does he play? Because he's risking probably too much. Last year's number one pick was Joe Burrow.
Yes.
Going into the college season, they were. I don't even know if he was going to get drafted.
Yeah.
Fringe, fifth, sixth, seventh round.
Oh, no doubt.
He became the number one pick based on his college football season. His life changed
yes.
on his football season.
It happens. I mean, sometimes players develop at different levels. Sometimes it takes them to transfer, get into a different situation. So those stories are going to go away. Similar for the NFL, if they limit down preseason and stuff. There are some people that make the team. Jason, in preseason, that's how they make the squad in the NFL. That's going to go away. So some of those stories that we see and they deliver on the high stage and then everyone falls in line and it pushes them right up into the draft and different stuff, not to mention the draft.
Right.
How are they going to go about that leads to, you know, might The Rock use the XFL as a playground for guys to get scouted in different things? There's an opportunity here that you would get type of high-level players that you probably wouldn't get otherwise. We're in flux, baby.
Yeah. I mean, our world is. And, I shouldn't be surprised about reading some of the things on social media. Like, people are devastated. And look, I want college football, too. I love it. What did you think was going to happen? I know a couple weeks ago, we've launched our schedule. We're going to play conference only. It was kind of trending towards this. It's just, I think they paused and paused and paused as long as they could. No one wanted to make a decision. Now they make a decision and no one likes the decision. Or a lot of people don't like the decision.
Right, yes. But when you talk about, imagine, when you start doing the numbers and different things, we talk about a large hearts and all types of stuff. Imagine a kid gets put on a respirator or something crazy.
Awful.
Like, everything is shutting down. And the numbers say that. And I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm saying when you talk about odds and things like that and one out of 10,000 and all these different things, it could happen. And that's where I think that schools started to understand. And let me say this, they started to overstand, pump your brakes, because lawyers getting involved in different things like that are saying, like, listen, signing waivers and all these different, that isn't going to probably cut it. Now, could there be a time as we continue to go on and we see this evolve to where they figure out a way where they're like, listen, if you want to play and you understand the risk that comes along with it, because there's an inherent risk in playing sports anyway. We've seen people get paralyzed and a lot of different things. So but now with this virus, it puts you in a total different category, and the risk is, at this particular time, they're saying no.
Yeah, this is a difficult spot, really, for a lot of people, for the university, for the athletes. I feel for them. I know this is a time where you know, I think about you, Doug, at that age, at 18, 19, 20, being told you can't play. I don't know how that lands for you. Your son now.
Yes. So let's take two scenarios. So Doug, as a 18-year-old, meaning me, I'm going to play. I'm going to go. I think I'm invincible. Young and dumb. I'm just, let me add it. Plus, I haven't reached where I wanted to go. I wanted to make it to the NBA. I'm really close. I'm going to go. Now, let's fast forward to Doug as a parent with a son
right. That's
playing.
What's your advice there?
I'm sitting down with him and I'm saying, listen, man, I wouldn't do it. And I would put my brakes and hold on. Now, he is 19 and he would be able to make the final decision, but putting stuff in front of him and educating him in a way that, you know, my mom's working two jobs, dad's not at home. So I didn't have that same, you know, support system for him to be able to say, these are all the different things. Take all of this into consideration, son, when you're making your decision. I was making my decision for me and I was going to live with whatever happened to that. So I can understand, you know, our listeners and people who are making these decisions right now with and for, and some of them for their kids, but with their kids at the same time. It is a hard, hard decision to make.
What about if someone made it for you in this sense?
What do you mean?
I'm thinking about, what's his name now? The University of Connecticut football, Randy Edsall.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago, UConn independent, they decided to not play. They're not affiliated with the league, but they said, we are not going to play. I saw his Zoom interview. He broke down. He's like, my job here is to protect the play. I mean, he was emotional. Uh-huh. If I had anything happen to one of those young men, I would be devastated. I can't. It's not worth the risk. And yes, any player could break an arm, a leg, get seriously hurt on the field playing the sport. But under the uncertainty of COVID, I mean, he got emotional.
Yeah.
And then you'll see Dabo I think it's the best thing for us is to play. We're protecting these young men, and we've got them in the best environments. Again, about as opposite as you can get, but one coach is basically saying, no, I'm not willing to put my young men out there, or women, depending on which sport it is.
Ooh. Because, see, like, do you have vastly different information? I don't think so.
Right. But some people are not buying it.
But
Or that's panicking. You're panicking.
Okay. I get it. And those people in that part of the country may look at it that way. Or another, and I'm playing Chris Verlot, devil's advocate here, might the paycheck at Connecticut look vastly different than the paycheck at Alabama? So where I'm speaking, but I'm also pushing a narrative.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets real. As a parent, taking my child to you, I am taking them to you and trusting that when you came in my home, you told me that you are going to take care of them and make the right decision for them and give them and put them in a position so that they can make the best decision for themselves. Wow. Man, let me tell you, this is a tough, tough time out here. And I'm saying that, and I know if I was 18, I'm playing.
Right.
I'm just kind of wilding out.
Well, and I said this yesterday, Doug. I think there were some people that didn't want to be first or last. Well, the Pac-12 and Big 12 made their decisions. SEC doesn't have to do it that way. ACC doesn't have to do it that way. And I got to believe there's pressures from both sides. I know there's businesses, family members, players that want to play no matter what. And probably on the other side, like, if you're playing, I'm not playing. It's not safe.
Right.
Or business, like, I don't think this is a good idea. Like, that's... They're hearing that from everybody.
Well, that is the big issue because, okay, we could figure out a way, and we're watching LSU right now, we could figure out a way to quarantine our football team enough, and hopefully you trust them and they do the right things, and we got them in a semi-bubble, okay? Got them in a bowl, whatever. The real issue, it's an issue for them to go out and do something stupid. Because we're seeing, like, the professional baseball player, man, what were you thinking, bro?
Right.
But if you are going to play a different school, see, in the bubble, the NBA has it so that you know at the end of the game, when you're dapping somebody up and giving them a hug, they've been tested like 900 times. Everyone is clear and the information is out there. Well, when LSU's playing Auburn and they're coming, how many times did you guys get tested? Are you sure? Are you all the protocol? That's the unknown that makes it like, whoa, watch out. not to mention, those are big-time schools. What about when you're playing a lesser school that you pay a lot of money to play them? I don't know if you ever saw that documentary about some of the kids getting hurt.
Right, right.
Okay, well, that's just physically, because these guys are physically stronger. Well, they're also tested more and all the – yeah, it's a bit of a mess, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
First things first. First things
first. Well, that was the thought on college football. The Kings, Doug, play game number 7 in the bubble versus New
Siete.
Orleans. Both teams will not make the postseason. Both teams are electing to do things already differently. We do know officially, as of now, still a couple hours from tip-off, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, Drew Holiday will not play for the Pelicans. On the Kings side of things, well, Bagley's been out. De'Aaron Fox will not play. Rashawn Holmes and Kent Bazemore.
Okay.
So in a game like that, obviously you're still the line. I know is be a professional. It's hard to not see the end when you know by Friday you're back home, whatever home is for you.
Right.
So yeah,
or
you
maybe
go
you
2-0.
Make a pit stop.
You can go 0-2. You can go 1-1. All the combinations are mm-hmm. there. Tricky games to play, but it happens, and you have to finish.
It's a must. And also, as a coaching staff, you want to see all these things that we've talked about, all these things that we've hopefully worked on. I need to see them, and I need to see them consistently and everything that goes with that. Not to mention, if you are a free agent or you might not be here next year, might not be in New Orleans next year, you are playing to demonstrate not only to your team that you're currently on, but other teams that are watching your wares as a player and the ability to hopefully garner another contract for yourself. But this is part of, you said it, being a professional and handling your business. And for the Kings, as you continue to, and I'll say that, continue to define what Kings basketball is, that's where I'm hoping to see one hell of an effort. I'm not here to... Oh, we're melanating. I'm not. You got enough players. Somebody, let's go. Give it the way that you're supposed to put it out there on the floor, and that's what I'm hoping to see in game number 7.
Yeah, and I think I don't know that there's a lot of players in my mind that I need to see something from. I feel like there's enough intel, right? I mean, is there anybody you go, man, it would be nice if they got 25 minutes today because I need to see. I mean, honestly, that answer to me is Bagley. Well, he's not there, and he's not playing. So besides that, sure, I could see Jabari Parker play 25 minutes or Kyle Guy. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'm in a spot where I go, oh, and I don't want it to be fool's gold. Jabari Parker plays great, scores 30 minutes. He's the answer. Well, he got an opportunity, played well. Good for him. There's somewhere in between that.
Yeah, but what you can do is if you had questions about certain things.
Okay.
Okay. Jabari, for instance, I want to put him in certain scenarios where you maybe more at the elbow. Can you pass to him and have guys cut off, and can he make those passes? Whatever, if it's somebody handling the basketball that doesn't normally handle the basketball, and try to put them in situations to see, because you do not. You believe me, I don't care what you think. That's why you take advantage of all the opportunities that you get, because you do not get another opportunity to play NBA basketball until whenever, because we don't know when it's coming back. So you're not going to be able to evaluate anybody against another NBA player in an NBA game in an NBA environment. So take advantage of that.
That opportunity is in front of them tonight.
First things first. All
right, last one on first things first. Unfortunately, Doug, the A's win streak came to an end last night. A long, long game. Mike Trout got him. He had a couple home runs, including the decider. But they still won 9 of their last 10. The news today, though, that we are waiting for was baseball to make a decision on suspensions. They have handed down Ramon Laureano. Don't make fun of his mom, but he came after you. He got 6 games where bench coach Alex Cintron got 20 games, which is the longest, I think they said longest, kind of on-field suspension in baseball. History matches it. So 20 games for him. Honestly, I thought Laureano might get more, and I know some people thought he got too much, but here's where baseball has been a little bit unbalanced, I guess, in some of their decision, which they've been guilty of that in a lot of things. Basically, the premise to me on Joe Kelly is we're in such a unique time. We can't threaten our sport with anything like this, any fighting, anything that brings people closer together, that like it's a no tolerance policy, zero tolerance. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is actually a fight in six games, though I'm happy for him, but I thought they would
go
more.
So you think that Laureano should have got more than six?
Yeah, Kelly got eight, and there was no fight.
So two things. Kelly was an instigator.
True.
Okay.
And Cintron was
Cintron was an instigator. That's how I look at
that
situation.
That's probably
because
a better
I don't
way to look
think
at it.
Laureano, to his credit, and this is so let me take you kind of behind the veil. So after this happens, you go home and you take a shower, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, the phone rings really early, and it is the commissioner, it is the security, somebody, and they say, "Okay, break it down for me. Tell me what happened." I said, "You know, he threw the ball at me. I got up, I punched him, he ran around," and I go through the whole deal. From that, they take whatever it is. I have a feeling that Laureano said, he said something about my mama. I let it pass. He said it again, and I ain't about those games.
Right.
So you instigated, okay, bang, there's your 20. That's a quarter of the season. That's a big fine, bro. That is. So, you know, what would that be normally? That would be 40?
40-something.
Damn, that's a big fine. So for him, he's like, okay, we got to fine you.
Actually, more than that, 50-something.
Yeah, we got to fine you, but we understand. That's what – which baseball made sense, in my opinion, in this one,
okay.
Which doesn't happen. So
right.
Kelly, for me, you know, with all the looking back, and he knew what he was doing, right?
Right.
Okay, and he did it on purpose.
Yeah, he was the instigator, though. You're right.
I don't see that with Laureano. He looked like he was – you know, that thing was funny.
That was the best. I like that he went for the dugout, but he's like, hey, this is how you pitch.
This is how you throw,
come on,
man.
What are you
he's
doing?
Like, what do you – like
– turn the arm over.
Yes.
Like, that's a curveball.
Okay, I'll take it a step further. He got hit three times
in
a couple days. So I think baseball said, okay,
we
got
understand.
You. They're coming. They're coming at you. We got to hit you with something.
Yeah.
And for the A's, man, like 10 games would have been a lot. Six, I think, is manageable, doable. They plug some people in and make it happen.
What's Laureano's quote? I regret charging him because he's a loser.
That's one that just.
That's after you get the suspension.
That's like, bang.
Yeah.
What? Loser. And take your 20 games and go.
We're at first. You're not. All right, when we come back, what to expect from the Kings and Pelicans today, and which team is really better off? Most people would say the Pelicans. We'll talk about that next on KHDK. All right, continuing here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie, as you'll be able to check out both of us in some way tonight, whether it's on the TV for Doug and the G-Man, or be on the radio later with the High Flyer and with Deuce.
And for all of those that were asking, Jason birdied 7 at Pebble Beach.
Well, we were just talking that Dave went to Pebble Beach. It's his birthday.
Happy birthday to what? You, Dave.
Is that a present?
No.
But yes, a quick recap of that. He's playing Pebble. I had a chance to play one time, took my brother for his birthday, 40th birthday years ago, and had a great time. But I was going in a mindset of I want to score, and that was a bad
That's a bad mindset?
Yeah, because I was worried about it, and I was not playing well early, had just a hideous round going through six holes, and I'm pretty mellow, and I was mad.
Hot?
I was hot.
Jason Ross.
There was a third person with us who we didn't know, but it was fine to play with him. He was fine. Ocean hole on 7, sprays one, goes right in the water, and I got a little laugh. I did. He didn't hear it, but I was like, that was funny. He just hit in the ocean. Then my brother went and hit it right in the ocean. That was a loud, audible laugh.
Oh, okay.
Because it's my brother. I can make fun of him. And so then I'm like, you know what? Just relax.
Yeah.
And I hit a nice, smooth iron right under the green, and I'm like, okay, I just landed on 7. That's cool. But I had a 20-foot putt maybe.
Yeah.
And I rolled it in.
Woo, and baby!
It was a different mindset. It just changed. I mean, I didn't have another birdie, but I had more pars and bogeys and less of the whatever. I was having triples and quads. I was a mess.
Man.
And just found my way to a good round. But I was also like, you know what? Look at the scenery.
Enjoy
I'm at Pebble
yourself.
Beach. I may never play here again. I haven't played ever again since then. I'd like to, but
Hook it up, man.
It was a good lesson, though. Like, because sometimes, And you're playing a lot more now that you're, okay, if you get the taste of a good score, like you broke 80. Like,
yeah.
Okay, now in the next round, I'm going to do this. But 90. You might go backwards. But you're still a good, you know, you're progressing. And so that 90, okay, that, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, now let's get back to 83. Okay, now let's get to 78. And yeah, but.
I got you.
Can that go with basketball? Like, I don't like the way it's going for the Kings, but today is a new day.
Did you just. You brought that around.
Tried to.
That was...
Can the Kings play 7 at Pebble and Birdie today?
Well done. Can they knock down a 20-footer is what you're saying.
And not, I mean, because, again, people, we've said this and think what you, I think they're better than this, but I can't keep saying that if they don't show it.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's irrelevant, but I do believe they're better than this.
I've said it. I think that they're closer to the team that we saw after they went through all their ups and – well, they didn't go up first. So all their downs and ups, so I'll say it properly because the beginning of the season was down, like as down as I could be. And then they started – you know, and then they lose – the problem – they lose to teams that they're that they shouldn't. That I consider them better than. I think that they think that they're better than, but they don't go out and take the sense of urgency and the aggressiveness and all the things that go. It's, I said it before, the ability to respect your opponent, the highest level of that is beat the hell out of them.
Yeah.
That's showing that I'm taking it serious. And too many times, it's not like they're not trying. But there's a focus and attention to detail and all the little, what we'd say, minutia, all that little stuff, that is what makes big stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately.
And you think of little things. You're right, though. I think that attention to detail is important. Game one of the bubble. Winnable game gone either way, really. The Spurs
offensive
got it.
Offensive rebound.
Offensive rebound on a free throw.
Oh, say that three times fast. Yeah. Offensive rebound. Offensive rebound. Yeah. Offensive rebound. What was his name? He got Jakob by Poeltl.
Yeah. And then late, they get the switch that they want all the time. Okay, that's going to happen sometimes. Can you get it in your favor on the other end? Like, little,
or can you adjust?
Right. Okay, one time it happened. Now we can't let Belly get in a spot where every time DeRozan's on him. We got to fix something.
There. Well, even if he does, because teams are smart. And I remember this play. I asked our producer, Roe, to... But we, because everything is the way it is down there, we don't have the same technology at this particular point to do. I wanted to run it back because there was a – so as the player's coming over to set a pick on DeRozan, there was a small that went by him. And as he went by, I said – he should have switched with Nemanja and let Nemanja go to the guard. And now when they switched off, you're switching a guard on a guard. But those are the little communications and things that the players have. That's like a super small thing. I'm running by. Hey, Nem, you go. Go, 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 go. I got him. Okay. Now the shot clock's running down, so maybe they recognize and they know, go, come back, come back. Okay. Now when you switch and he gets ready to go against Nemanja, it's a total different shot because there's 5 seconds on the shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's, you know, doing it at his own pace, doing his own thing, getting his rhythm together, and nobody's coming. I need some help over here.
Yeah, details.
Yeah.
Details, details, details.
Crescent wrench, please.
So these two teams today.
Yes.
They're going to get, I've seen it already on social media, the Kings and Pelicans, not only on NBC Sports, Bay Area, but it's on TNT. This was a game that was kind of saved, much like that one that right before the break was going to be on ESPN. Both teams are out. Both teams not playing their guys. But I think a lot of people, mm-hmm. I think if we pulled, out, especially outside of Sacramento, but maybe even in Sacramento, who's better off? Kings and the Pelicans. They're both going to miss. Mm-hmm. They both have some young pieces. I bet almost everybody, Doug, would say the Pelicans.
Yeah, I mean.
And I'm not certain I disagree, but I want to know why that answer is.
Okay.
And is it strictly Zion? Because
I think a lot of it.
Zion is terrific, but is he going to play every game all the time?
No. I mean, he's got a Marvin Bagley-ish problem right now. Neither one of them can really stay on the court.
Now, Marvin probably hasn't been as dominant as Zion. Like, Zion's looked pretty spectacular, but Marvin's been good when he's played. He just hasn't played enough.
Right. I mean, if you went, you know, J.J. Redick, Buddy Hield.
Okay.
Okay.
Same guy in a sense.
Same. Yeah. I think J.J. understands how to utilize his weapon a little better than Buddy at this particular time.
But that's 14 years versus 4,
I was going to say, it took him a second to figure out, you know, how to come off of a pick properly and all the for the NBA, because JJ isn't the biggest player. He's not the fastest player. So when I talk about efficiency and motion and all that, that's why he had to figure out one thing that if you watch him, he figured out how to catch the ball and stop and drift and shoot, not because he wanted to. If you want to get this thing off, this is how you're going to have to get it off, player.
Right, right.
Because 6'6", 6'7", coming at you, you better figure it out. And he, to his credit, he has.
All right, so then if you look at a few other things, people automatically would go to Brandon Ingram. Now, Ingram's a terrific player.
All-star.
But here's a very important asterisk to that. He's a free agent. Now, if they sign him,
they would be,
that feels different.
They would be really not
what if
smart.
They lose him? I'm sure they don't want to. But
the only way that they would, the only way that they would lose him is if he is he a he's a unrestricted?
Unrestricted.
Yeah, well, I probably would.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How'd you let that happen?
Right.
But the trade happened in different things. Right. Okay. And then they had general manager, new one, and I get all that. The only way that he leaves there is if he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't want to be there anymore, I could see him actually leaving. They putting all the fruit in the basket of Zion Williamson. That's a possibility.
But I also think because of – I would say more people would lean towards New Orleans being better off present day.
Mm-hmm.
What that also helps is those potential free agents, right? Oh, I like what they're doing. I'll go play with Zion. I'll go play with Ball and
sure.
Ingram.
Yeah.
It looks like they're on the way up. That's what it would look like.
What you're talking about is you're talking about your Josh Hart.
Right.
Your Frank Jackson, your J.J. Redick's, those type of players. Yes, that is a strong possibility. Now, on an uptick where De'Aaron Fox has the ability to reach out to people as well and say, mm-hmm. hey, man, come to SAC, play with us.
Right.
Brand new arena. We're moving in the right direction. We're doing things. Now, he doesn't have the demo tape to demonstrate that,
right.
Except if he goes to the end of the year and says, hey, well, we had our thing going. We were feeling like we were trending in the right direction. What about Marvin? Well, injuries. And that's – understand that happens.
Right.
I told you, I got a call from Tim Duncan on the golf course, and he's like, hey, man, we want to come. Those are the things that happen, and that is – De'Aaron may have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the deal.
Yeah, they get some decisions to make, too, besides Brandon Ingram, Derek Favors, who I think they can replace, but he started for them.
Yeah, and
so he's a free agent.
Derek has been a solid player. I mean, he's going to give you a little defense, knock down some shots, catch the ball, put it on the deck once or twice and finish at the basket. But you're right, that he's a replaceable type of player, maybe one more Rashawn Holmes that runs with them.
That helps them better.
He's a little slower.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see how that one goes. As again, all guests coming to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. We will come back. We will have our final segment because, again, we got to make our way to the arena. We'll have a little crossover with Carmichael Dave and a few of the other NBA news and notes from the bubble. That is next here on KHTK. All guests coming to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Jason Ross, Doug Christie back here. We got a few more minutes before we have to part to the arena to get ready for Kings basketball. The bubble will continue in Orlando for the Kings. Only a couple more days. We'll be in the arena for only a few more times. This one and then the Laker game. Remember, that game now is 10:30 on Thursday. Early start.
Yeah. Early game. I mean, back there, what's that, 1:30?
Yeah, it's fine.
They're
used to all that stuff now.
Yeah, we'll be up early. A little coffee.
Right to the arena.
Bagel.
Yeah.
Fruit. You do fruit in the morning?
Yeah, that's fine. Everything but the coffee.
What's up with the coffee, man?
I don't know. I love the smell of it. I don't dislike it. I just never
have. Have you tasted it?
Yeah. And which is weird because both my parents they could have IV drips of coffee. But just...
Follow the drip.
You never had the Café du Monde coffee?
I did not.
Is that like world famous?
Probably.
Can you say that one more time, please?
Café du Monde?
Yeah.
He Vente en Roulé.
I just, so you know, he looked in the mirror when he says
that. Oh, he does.
Oh, no doubt. He wants to make sure.
This is how it looks. Oh, yeah. That's how it looks. A couple of finals happened today in the bubble. The Nets keep winning. So, the Nets and the Suns are great examples of, the Nets were going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
They kind of clinched their spot, but
Orlando, too.
Yeah, and they did beat Orlando today. But the Nets,
there's an excuse to not be good if they didn't want to be, but I think they're 5-2.
Yeah, they really galvanized as a team. And for how about Jacque Vaughn? I mean, you know, I don't know what was going to happen with Sean Marks, the GM there in Brooklyn. It sounded like they were going to maybe do a coaching search or something like that. Does this play for him?
I hope. I like those stories. So, I mean, he's impressed so far. He even won a couple games before they got to the bubble. Then these. I read today, though, a story where they're looking at Jeff Van Gundy. They're looking at Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd, you know, a few, which would be interesting.
I think
back
I heard
to
Mark
Nets.
Jackson, too.
Mark Jackson. Yeah. So we'll see, but Vaughn doing his part. The Spurs, they're not quitting. They thumped the Rockets today, 123-105. They've got the longest playoff streak. It's going to take a little work here, but they've put themselves in position.
So they need someone to lose, correct?
Yeah, so they got to 32 wins, 32-38. The Blazers right now, Doug, are 33-39.
33-39.
So technically they're a game back of them.
So the Blazers would need to lose.
The Blazers and or the, you know, the Grizzlies are in a spot. They're 33-38.
Okay.
So they're only a half game behind the Grizzlies, who are losing right now.
Who are they losing to?
Boston.
Oh, they're going to lose that game.
They're down 9 in the third, and then they've made it to the 4. Yeah, they're going to win again. The Suns are 90 seconds away from winning to go to 7-0.
Damn,
which
man.
Is going to put them to 33.
What
and
was
39.
That $2 bet?
Oh, I've been like, why are you wasting $2? 7-0. Now, here's the thing: I saw somebody say today on Twitter, they're like, "Oh, but the Sixers aren't playing Simmons. So what?
Yeah,
and Embiid. They've created the good fortune. Like they've.
Yep.
If they didn't win any of those games before,
it wouldn't matter,
right? So like today, if the Kings were. Whatever, 5 or 6-0, and the Pelicans weren't playing their guys. Who cares?
Yep.
Take advantage of it.
Yes, and it would count just the same,
absolutely.
And we'd be like, yeah. Hell with that,
good
man.
Good for the Suns.
Good for them. Monty Williams has got those guys playing some serious basketball and believing. Good for them.
Because I'm not a big believer in that team, but I'm believing in what they're doing at this present moment.
Right.
7-0 is 7-0.
I would agree, and I think that that's where a lot of people said about the Kings at the end of the season. They're not believing in the team, and I'm looking going, no, they're about to put it on New Orleans tonight. It is happening on ESPN. It's buzzard luck.
Yeah. Arr. So good for the Suns. We gave you the Celtics score. The Blazers and the Mavericks have just started. That's 8-8, so they're just in the beginning, and the other game tonight is the Bucks. And the Wizards, I'm getting a kick out of Dame's getting a little feisty, fighting back at the Clippers.
Skip Bayless and all them.
Yeah, and everybody like, okay, it's and playoffs are almost here. So it's going to be, I wish the Kings were involved in that. And now that they're not, that's going to be a good postseason, I think.
Well, man, if the Blazers make the playoffs, they're going to give the Lakers a run for their money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dame's a real deal, man. I would tell you his evolution as a player, as a leader, as a go-to has been something to watch and behold. Then he misses two free throws, doesn't blink, lets everybody know about it, and goes out and puts up a 51 ball and a W.
Yeah.
Okay.
The things that are locked in that we know, Doug, it will be a 1-8 matchup of the Bucks versus the Magic. Maybe the Magic get a game, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, I could see. I mean, the Magic, they played some good basketball in this bubble. So could they? Yeah, possibly. But, you know, Bucks playoff basketball is different than what they've done here in the bubble so far.
Yeah, because they're 3-7 going even like in their last 10. They're way better than that. And I mean, that game they played the Kings, and I know it was a scrimmage. I went, if they play like that, who's beating them?
Yeah, not many. Yeah. I think they were just trying to get their feet underneath them, you know, blow out the cobwebs and everything and try to find a little bit of rhythm. That's what I thought the Lakers did last night, as you see Kyle Kuzma knock down a game winner.
I like that last play.
I think it was a smart play because you could have gave it to AD.
Mm-hmm.
He does what he does, whether he makes it or misses it.
And
he's
LeBron
made some.
Ran off that.
LeBron, you could give it to him, and he's made some and missed some. But you're also trying to build up the confidence in a Kyle Kuzma, and no better confidence builder than to be on a court with both of those guys and for them to defer to you and the coach to trust you and you to knock down the shot. Could that catapult him into having a really good playoff run?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah.
We'll see you at 10:30.
Right. Tomorrow or Thursday. That was a good win, though, for them to beat Denver. The other matchup that's set is the 2-seed defending champion Toronto Raptors, who are just nothing but consistency. They will play Brooklyn, who we praise them. They've won 3 in a row. They're getting close to 500. If they win their final game, they'll get there. I don't think the Raptors would lose to the Nets, but the Nets are feisty.
Yeah, I don't.
Some of those other pieces, like Chioza that brought off the bat, I'm like, man, that guy's quick.
Yeah, Chioza's solid. He's got a little, What's the small guard's name for Toronto? I can't think of it
Van
right
Vliet.
Now. He's got a little Van Vliet in him, but maybe obviously not as good, but he's a really, really solid player. I don't see Toronto dropping anything to them. Maybe a game, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Boston will be the 3 seed. We don't know if they're going to play Indiana or Philly. And right now, Miami and Indiana are the 4-5, and if that means more T.J. Warren versus Ooh. Jimmy Butler, which we had yesterday, and T.J. Warren was held to, what, was it 12 or 14? I was like, yeah, there was a
– yeah.
I see what you've done in the bubble, and I remember our last game, and I remember the gesture you showed me.
Yes, and I'm gonna see you soon.
Yeah.
I'll be there. Don't worry. Matter of fact, I'm showing up early. Holla at your boy.
If we get more of that, that would be good. The West, we're still kind of deciding. We will have a play-in game, and that's what the drama's left. Is it Memphis, Portland, San Antonio, or Phoenix? All right, we got a couple minutes left. Let's get a little crossover here from the morning show. Right to
left. What's happening on the Carmichael Dave Show? Let's find out right now with the crossover.
Do you believe it?
Here's today's crossover.
Yeah, okay, I don't have a direct answer because I hate Shart Week, but I'm going to combine my answer with a question back to you guys. This is a classic.
Shart Week?
Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Easy answer for me. 100 horse-sized ducks?
No.
100 duck-sized horses.
100 100 duck-sized horses.
Okay.
Or one?
Duck-sized horse. Is that right?
Yeah. Horse-sized duck.
Horse-sized duck.
Yeah. So one big duck.
Or I'm going with 100.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going with the big one.
No.
No.
No?
The ducks are kicking.
Listen, ducks are mean, man.
I know.
You don't be playing with, and the duck is the size of a freaking horse. He's gonna beat the hell out of you. Them little ducks. I'm just, I had a little soccer game back in the day.
Fight.
Forgive me.
You're dealing with numbers, 100 of them. You're not gonna get them all.
Listen, I'm telling you, that's an easy call. Is that
Chris? I think it's the other way.
Someone has something that they would like to say.
Okay.
I'm not surprised at all. Doug's a coward. Of course he would be intimidated by that. You worried about a duck that big? You could get escaped for that.
Oh, I'll see you soon.
Do you have Deuce, to fight the duck?
Deuce, what do you do?
Oh, what do I have?
Deuce is afraid. Deuce would end it. Deuce, what's the question to you all the time? If Doug, how about this one? I've asked Deuce before. If a bear comes in this studio, right? Deuce, what do you do?
If I have, the only thing I have is a knife?
Yeah, and Deuce has a knife, and a bear comes through the studio. Listen to his answer.
I got to make a tough call. I got to sacrifice myself.
What?
He ends it. He ends it for himself.
And just to be clear,
It
was a gorilla.
No. Bye. That's what I say. What is wrong with you?
You think you're going to, a grizzly bear, you're just going to take down a grizzly bear, Doug. You're going to
I'm going to try.
What is wrong with you?
You give up, man.
You cannot be on my team. I'm just telling you. Not in my foxhole with that attitude. You're just going to end yourself? Well, to your point, if I fight him, I'm going to end him. Guess what? It's called a puncher's chance. I might stab him right in his carotid artery. I might get him in a heart.
I'm not
doing
that.
Okay, well, I'll let you cut your own neck. You idiot. Come on. I can't believe you said that, man. You know what? When every time you see me now, since that's your mindset, you bow to me before you speak.
Oh, get out of here.
Thank you.
Is that your walk-off?
Damn right.
I knew his answer. It's so great.
That's terrible. So what do you mean great? There's nothing great about that.
It makes me laugh every
time. I'm
going
to end myself. I'm going to make a tough call.
And I've got a knife.
And guess what? The bear turned around and went out. He was looking for honey.
All right. That's it for us for now. We're back tomorrow. Kings basketball is coming up a little bit later here on Sports 1140 KHDK.